Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today. You don't need to feel like financial wellness is impossible. Acorns gives you small, simple steps to get you and your money on track. What I love about Acorns is knowing I am doing something proactive for my future. And it's not a time suck because basically Acorns does the hard part for you so you can give your money a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome.
I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
How are you doing?
Oh, you know.
Right?
It's a busy day in the neighborhood.
It is a busy day. It is Halloween parade day.
It's Halloween parade day. I ran out of power last night. Or not ran out, but the power went off.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to make the kid a costume with, you know, hot glue gun and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Never came back on. So this morning, I could not do it, did not have time. So I left my daughter in charge.
Oh.
Who's pretty crafty.
She's pretty crafty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is very crafty. She did a great job. And I just kind of held my breath that my kid looked good when I got to the parade. I was
nice
running to one school, then back to the other school. And yeah, I made it.
But well, it's been a week. They combined Red Ribbon Week, where you have to like wear something.
Same.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So my kids had one day it was wear your sports team.
Yeah. Well, that was yesterday for us.
Well, no one has sports gear in my house except for me. All my t-shirts have Dolly Parton or the Denver Broncos. Literally.
So what did you do?
I made them wear my shirts.
Oh, even my gosh, son. You did?
And they're like all like cute ladies' shirts. So I like safety pinned the like boat neck to the back. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you could tell. It was a lady's shirt.
That's fine. I think you did good.
I took them to Yogurtland after school, like just in case I traumatized them.
Yeah.
I was like,
that is really, that's, it's fine.
Right?
It's fine.
They didn't see.
Everybody
to
around here has sports gear because it's Texas. But my daughter, she was like, no, not doing that.
Well, apparently, since it's this red ribbon, you know, say no to drugs week, That includes alcohol. So my daughters came home telling me that their teacher, they asked me if I drank alcohol. They told me their teacher told them that it could kill me and it would definitely kill them.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, yeah, we drink alcohol all the time. Responsibly.
Responsibly.
Is it just me? I was like, giant eye roll.
I think that's a little extra. You think that teacher doesn't drink ever?
He's a very good teacher, but I don't know. He's got a lot of pep in his step. He probably doesn't. He's probably on like a lot of really good supplements.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, a glass of wine here or there. Come on.
I mean, come on.
Listen, I think a lot of people should not drink. I think it's fine if you don't drink. I think more power to you. You look like J-Lo at 50.
But
if you
don't. Know your audience. We're in the OC here. Everybody be not. This is not Utah. Everybody be drinking. No offense,
True.
Utah. But, you know, I don't think as many people drink there.
They probably don't.
I'm just saying, tonight I got to go to the trunk or treat.
And you're bringing wine.
No, I'm not bringing wine. I'm on a cleanse right now. But, but everything flies out of their mouth. So I have no idea what they reported back after I told them, no, we drink all the time.
Go tell your teacher that.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I didn't tell you where I went for the very first time.
Where'd you go for the first time?
I went to the Waffle House.
Oh, nice.
Uh-huh. I went to the Waffle House in Florabama. And I got there maybe, I don't know, 2 a.m. Needed some waffles.
Prime time for waffles. So
it's actually the prime time for the Waffle House.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it is packed there. And our waitress was so funny. She, like, this guy behind us, I guess, is a frequent customer, like every night customer.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know what? I'm kind of nervous about where you're sitting because last night he ordered a bunch of really crispy waffles and started chucking them at the people that were sitting at your table.
Oh, shoot.
And you let him back in? She's like, yeah. And they, I mean, she went off. I was like, she's like, it's not the first time. I'm like,
oh my gosh. But don't you just love it? I mean, you see all the grill. If you haven't been to the Waffle House, you see it all happening.
Listen, I think it's fine for a late night thing, but I wouldn't choose it for my Sunday brunch.
No, but like road trip, Waffle House, In-N-Out, easy peasy.
I also went to In-N-Out on my way home from Waco the other day.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It never disappoints. Never.
Never. No. I'm very happy for you that you have In-N-Out in Texas.
Yeah. Sorry, Whataburger, but it's just not as good.
I never have had a Whataburger. No, and I'm sorry for all the other states that don't have In-N-Out.
Me too. And you know, they closed that one in San Francisco.
Did they?
Yeah, because they're saying they're not going to make their people mandate the vaccine. So,
they're not going to make their people, they're not going to make their customers wear masks inside. That's what it's about.
It is?
Yeah.
Well, you're eating. How are you going to wear a mask and eat?
I don't know. I don't know. But they said they're not going to discriminate against people who choose not to wear masks. They put their foot in the ground about that. They said our customers can make up their own minds.
Okay. Well, yeah. See, like In-N-Out even more.
Yeah.
All right. So do you have crime for us today?
No, I do.
I hope everybody had a happy Halloween, by the way.
Oh, yeah. This is coming out the day after Halloween. Okay.
Oh, and I'm so sorry that you had to stay up late with your kids because I know you did. And it was probably a hassle this morning to get them off to school. And I think, Gretchen, you have the day off after Halloween, don't you?
I do have the day off, but I scheduled all my teacher conferences.
Oh, well, still, that's like...
easy.
That is really smart.
Yeah.
Look at my cute nails. You see? They have bats on them.
Me too.
And spider webs. Do you have the same ones?
20.
Oh, cute. Different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like them.
Okay, you ready for this?
I am.
Y'all ready for this? Okay, so Today's case is, like we said, coming out the day after Halloween. And I was going to do a Halloween crime, but I just wasn't feeling any of them. So it's not a Halloween crime. It's more of a Christmas crime, but I would say it is spooky-ish.
So it's like a Nightmare Before Christmas theme.
Boom.
Which, if you haven't
seen... I meant to do that. Thank you.
If you haven't seen our special on Patreon, it is uploaded now.
And word.
Gretchen and I did a Halloween special. You can go to patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime and click on the Halloween special, and you can see a fun video with us dressed up. And I'm not telling you what we are, but I might have just told you what we were.
I think you did. My husband saw it for the first time this morning because he wasn't around when we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And
what did he say?
He said that was not hot.
I thought it was hot.
He was not impressed.
Oh, I was.
Anywho, this crime is actually almost as old as we are.
Okay.
It took place in 1979.
It is.
In Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Actually, it's a little older than me.
You're such a bitch.
Just saying.
Okay.
Trying to age me over here.
Just barely. Okay, just
barely.
Like a little poquito. Okay. Okay, Cedar Rapids looks like a nice place to live. I found some beautiful old homes. You know how I like ye.
Yeah, I've heard of Cedar Rapids before, and I do think it's a nice place to live.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I saw beautiful homes for around $500,000, like big, beautiful, on land. Nice, okay. It's the second largest city in Iowa, with a population of 130,000, which got me thinking, that's still small, right?
It's like a little bigger than Ventura.
Yeah, and... so that got me thinking also, how many people live in the freaking state of Iowa, right?
Oh, right. How many?
A little more than 3 million. And you know what? That's the same amount of people that live in teeny tiny Orange County, where I live.
3 million.
3 million. Yeah.
Okay.
It's crowded here.
Okay.
Maybe I should move to Iowa or Texas.
Or Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, anyways, back in 1979, Michelle Martinko was a high school senior, and boy, was she a disco biscuit. She was smart and sweet and rocked the full-on Farrah flip with her blonde hair.
Love it.
So good, okay? On the night of December 19th, 1979, Michelle went to a banquet for the concert choir she was in. Her outfit was 1979 everything. She wore a really cute strappy black dress, heels, pantyhose, and a rabbit fur coat.
Oh, dude, I can just see it now.
And the hair flip? I mean, come on, right? So after the banquet was over, she spoke with her mother because her mother wanted her to go and try on another rabbit fur coat she had put on layaway for Michelle as a Christmas present. She had given her $180 to buy it if she liked it. Sounds baller,
it's a real
right?
Rabbit?
Yeah, okay, it was 1979. I mean, you know.
Okay.
We're faux now, but whatever. This was...
yeah, no, but I'm saying that sounds cheap also for real fur.
Well, it was 1979.
Okay, so that's probably like $500 now or more. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know what inflation is.
I don't know. Inflation's happening every day.
Ask my husband.
Yeah, okay.
Very worried about it.
Yeah. Okay, so she tried to get one of her friends from the choir to go with her, but... her friend said she had too much studying to do. So Michelle went to the mall. She didn't end up buying the coat, but she did run into a couple of different friends at the mall. I swear, every time I go to the mall and I don't put myself together, I run into people. And so knowing that, when I try to put some effort into my appearance, I never see anyone.
That's like everybody. I have that happen all the time.
Oh, my God.
Wear my pajamas to the Starbucks. See three people.
Yeah.
Go to Starbucks every single day. made up in my cute tennis skirt.
Never see anybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Michelle was clearly looking amazing and she ran into everybody. She ran into her old boyfriend named Andy first. Her and Andy had dated for 2 years. They had broken up but remained friends. Michelle actually had a new boyfriend, Mike, that was 100 miles away now at college. Anyways, when she ran into Andy, he told her, like, funny seeing you here because I am just about to buy your Christmas present. Which is a little extra, right? I mean, they're broken up and she has a new boyfriend and he's still buying her Christmas presents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, people close to Michelle did feel, in fact, that Andy was a little extra because they know how he was always keeping tabs on Michelle. But it didn't seem like it bothered Michelle personally. Okay.
Okay.
In addition to running into Andy at the mall, she saw another classmate. And then she saw a friend named Kurt that was working at one of the shops in the mall. Kurt was on a break and he and Michelle ended up chatting his break away for about 30 minutes. Kurt had to get back to the shop and by this time the mall was closing shortly. It was almost 10 p.m. So Kurt walked her to the exit and she was seen one more time by another female classmate of hers who was outside smoking a cigarette before she walked out to her car by herself, which was parked pretty far away. It was a school night, and when Michelle wasn't home by 11, her mother became very worried. She started calling Michelle's friends, and she called Andy as well. He offered to drive around and look for her. When they didn't find her after an hour, Michelle's mother called the police and explained, "This is not some teenager out past curfew. She's real responsible, and she's never done anything like this, and I just have a terrible feeling that something has happened to my daughter." Yeah. She told the police the last time she spoke with Michelle, she was at the mall. The
police.
Yeah. She couldn't find the shop where the coat was on layaway. So she called her mom.
Okay.
Right. Okay. The police were dispatched Michelle's vehicle information. And at 4 a.m., an officer found Michelle's car in the parking lot of the mall.
Same place.
Yeah. When he approached it, he found her slumped over and bloody.
In her car.
Michelle had been stabbed to death very violently. She had over 20 stab wounds. She was still wearing her pantyhose and had the $180 her mother had given her. And
she found the store.
Her purse. Well, no, so she tried on the coat and she didn't like it.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You know, because she still had the pantyhose on and money and apparently all her shopping bags, it doesn't appear to be a robbery. Yeah. Or a sexual assault. Michelle had deep defensive wounds. And so, however it happened, it was clear that Michelle had put up a big fight. And you know what they say when someone is stabbed that many times, it's usually personal.
Yeah, I mean, it's somebody's mad at her.
Yeah.
I think it's the ex-boyfriend that said he was buying her a present.
Okay. So, poor Michelle's family. Holiday time crimes are the worst, right?
Dude,
because now for the
totally
rest of your
is.
Life, you associate that with the holiday.
Yeah. You know, I had a friend that died in a car accident. I think it was either Thanksgiving or the day after Thanksgiving, you know? And so it's just like... so tragic because you're never going to have a good Thanksgiving, even though Thanksgiving is on a different day every, you know, like even a different week.
No, like that time of year. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So instead of decking the halls and baking cookies, they were planning her funeral now. At the funeral, people started talking about how extra Andy was. Michelle's best friend said he was practically in the casket with her. And he said to her that day, "I just have to know who she loved when she died, me or Mike." So as you can imagine, like you've already said, he was a suspect.
Yeah.
Okay. As well as pretty much every other male that, you know, Michelle knew.
Yeah.
But Andy's the most likely, right? He was right at the mall. He saw her that night, you know. When police spoke to him, they found out a friend had driven him home that night and dropped him off at his house. And then his mother says he was at his house for the rest of the night. Okay.
Okay.
Until he went out with Michelle's mother to go look for her.
And this is the boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend.
She's got another boyfriend 100 miles away in college. This is the ex-boyfriend. Okay.
Okay.
Well, listen, police cleared him.
Well, he sounds like he has a pretty good alibi if somebody drove
him. Yeah. I mean, it's a little sus that, I mean, it's always going to cast, I think, a little bit of doubt because it's like, what would a mama lie about? Right? Hello, laundry.
Well, I think the mom would lie about that.
For her son. Yeah. So it's a possibility. Right. Right? Okay.
But would the friend lie? Would the friend lie to drive him home?
Yeah, I don't think so. You know. Anyways, police believed it. They cleared him. And because the boyfriend, Mike, that was her actual boyfriend, was not even in Cedar Rapids at the time, he was cleared too. There wasn't anyone that they found that had any reason to want to harm Michelle, and they really investigated it. It became one of those cases that a huge spotlight was cast on because people wanted answers to what could have happened to this beautiful, blonde, young girl just 6 days before Christmas.
Yeah.
But after ruling out all the males close to Michelle, they really didn't have anything except they knew her killer had worn gloves because he had left glove prints on her car and they had taken blood samples. One sample was from a blood print left on the gear shift on the car, and mm-hmm. they speculated that was the killer's blood. But in 1979, DNA wasn't a thing, right?
Yeah.
Samples were just able to give them blood types, which is not enough to narrow anything down.
No.
Yeah. So the case went cold. And it stayed that way so long that Michelle's parents both passed away without ever knowing who was responsible for killing their daughter. Ugh. Her poor parents never got the answers they wanted. And on top of that, you know, there was a lot of gossip, town rumors that Michelle, it had happened because Michelle was involved in some kind of like sex work or, you know, something crazy that could not be farther from the truth. Right.
Yeah. And even if she was, what does that have to do with the price of tea? Yeah. You know, like, come on. There's just
I think people make stuff up like that because they want
it. It makes them feel better.
It makes them feel better that it's just a random act couldn't have happened in their town.
Yes, or that it wouldn't happen to them because they're not a sex worker or whatever.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Right.
So year after year and then decade after decade passed, but the Cedar Rapids community did not forget about Michelle Martinko. On the anniversary of her death every year, the local news would pay tribute to her. The detective who had initially headed the investigation retired. And now the case was in the hands of a former classmate of Michelle's in 2005. So in 2005, this detective sends out the blood scrapings from the gear shift in Michelle's car and the dress she was wearing. And they both came back with Michelle's blood mixed with a full profile of a male's DNA.
No way.
Yeah.
That's incredible that they can keep that and still get the DNA.
Preserve it for that long.
Yeah.
So this guy had to circle way back and get DNA now from everyone that was originally interviewed, over 100 people. And of course, the person who had been kind of the main suspect, Andy. And guess what?
None.
Not a single match.
No. So it wasn't Andy.
No, I mean,
you know what's pretty
lucky? They didn't get a match, but it is good news for Andy, who had kind of been living with the rumor that he had offed his high school girlfriend.
Yeah. And you know what is funny is like, or not funny, but lucky for Andy that he didn't get convicted, because I think that people would have believed it. I mean, they could have gotten a pretty good case around him.
Oh, if he didn't have a good alibi? Sure.
Yeah.
What if he but just he really... went to go do donuts in the, you know, some lot or whatever? Everyone would say, like, no way.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's finally, Andy's finally exonerated. The DNA was also sent to the criminal database, but no match. So the case went cold again.
Really quick, I want to break to tell you about Shudder, brought to you by AMC. Since we are staying in, cozying up, not going out, it's fall now, going into winter, why not turn a scary flick on? That's what I did this weekend. I watched myself a new docuseries on Shudder called Behind the Monster. You guys have to check it out. Shudder also has exclusive scary movies and shows like Creepshow, The Medium, and The Addiction. And actually, Shudder can become your addiction. You can stream Shudder on pretty much any device or smart TV. Shudder has the largest, fastest growing, curated selection of thrilling and dangerous entertainment. Basically, it's like the Netflix for horror. Get started streaming the best horror, thriller, and supernatural content for only $5.99 a month or $56.99 a year. But since you listen to us, we're going to give it to you for free for 30 days. Just go to Shudder.com. That is S-H-U-D-D-E-R, Shudder.com, and use promo code CLINKCLINK. Again, that's S-H-U-D-D-E-R, and use promo code CLINKCLINK.
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. Acorns helps you build your financial future in the background so you can focus on all your holiday shopping and parties. So genius. Another great thing about Acorns is you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or even just your spare change. That's right. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to the dollar automatically and invest your spare change for you. So that coffee you grab on the way to the mall, that's investing. And you get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. With Acorns, every single gift you buy this year could put more money in your investment account. It's like cash back, but the bonus investments have a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns investing. Involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Listeners, every year around this time, I resolute I'm going to get grown-up stuff done, like get that colonoscopy over with that my doctor's been bugging me about. Get my affairs in order, like making a will. And why is it that a will seems to be more daunting than the colonoscopy? Well, it doesn't have to, because trust and will makes creating your will easy, like lounging on the couch easy. The website is really simple to use and the process is straightforward. Each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. So for my family, my main concerns are guardians for my children. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, your final arrangements, or power of attorney, Trust and Will has you covered. When maneuvering through the process, if you have any questions that stop you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of five-star reviews from Trustpilot. So check one of your goals off early this year with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/HTC and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/HTC.
In 2015, so 10 years later, the detective that happened to have been Michelle's former classmate wanted some fresh eyes on the case after 10 years of dead ends since he had taken it over. He enlisted the help of another detective whose father had been the original detective on Michelle's case. This detective was glad to revisit the case that had gotten away from his father, and he had an idea based on some headlines that made national news about DNA. This game-changing DNA news was in 2015, the Golden State Killer had finally been found after familial DNA was used to track him down. Okay, so if you don't know, that's like basically when people submit their DNA willingly for like ancestry purposes or whatever goes into a database. So this detective took the samples he had from Michelle's case and he got a match. Based on the DNA profile, he got a female cousin of the killer.
Okay.
Okay.
We're getting somewhere.
We're getting somewhere. Okay. Side note, that poor lady, I imagine she just bought like 23andMe to like find out if she was like Norwegian or Nigerian or whatever. And just ends up learning she's related to a murderer.
God,
that can't be that a good
call.
Feeling.
What if you got that call?
That sucks. Like, right.
Then you're just thinking everybody in your family is a murderer.
Who could it be? I don't. Yeah, no. Like
you're like, who's coming over for Christmas this
year?
You're
like, no, I'm traveling. Peace out. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So these detectives go about putting together this woman's family tree and they narrow it down to three male cousins of hers that are all brothers, are all alive, and still in Iowa.
I mean, okay.
DNA
this
is
all
so...
good news.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
all they need to go
think
get
about
is
it.
A cigarette
DNA
butt.
Is so bananas, right?
It's awesome.
Yeah. So it's also pretty bananas the way they got the DNA to compare to the profile that they had from these men. It's very CSI. They didn't want them to suspect that they were looking into them. So they got all three men's DNA covertly by like following them around,
like at a
eating
bar.
Them, you know, going to the Waffle House at the same time as them, taking their straw.
Oh, my
you know?
Gosh. So this is the kind of like detective work that I feel like I would be loving, you know,
totally.
Like go to the bar, sit down next to them, eavesdrop a little bit.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they get up, I grab the bottle.
I like
it back, you know.
Yeah. So good. With one of the brothers, they went through his trash. So that's not that
fun. Yeah. Well, that's not fun. I had to do that.
But they found a toothbrush. I'm sure they were like, jackpot.
I lost my ring in the trash can the other day.
Yeah.
And it was real full. And it's a teeny tiny one, little teeny tiny ring. And I went through the whole trash can also.
Yeah.
Found it.
Yeah. One time when I was waiting tables, somebody accused me of throwing their child's retainer away when I cleared the plate.
Oh, God.
And we went through everything. And then we found it on the table.
Oh, no, you did not.
Yes. And she did not even leave me 20%. Bitch.
What a B. Yeah. I was accused of stealing somebody's credit card before. And you know how they had, side note, sorry guys, but the trash can right by where the receipt thing would come out. So I'm thinking that it got thrown in that trash can by accident, just like whatever. Also went through the whole trash, but, and she really like, she thought I was stealing her card.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not taking your credit card, woman.
Yeah.
Like, it's somewhere. And it was on the ground. It must've just like fallen out of the.
Yeah. Right. Shit happens, people.
Yeah.
Okay, so they got the DNA samples and they sent them to the lab and they got back an exact match.
Boom. Who is it?
His name is Jerry Burns. He was a business owner and father of three with no connection to Michelle Martinko and no record of criminal behavior.
No way.
Yeah. So the detective went to interview him at his automotive business, and he did it on the 39th anniversary of Michelle's murder. You know, trying to rattle him a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. The interview was pretty much like this. The detective's like, you know about the Michelle Martinko murder, Jerry? Well, we have your DNA, so you want to tell us what happened that night? And Jerry's like, oh, I don't think so. He's thinking like, I was wearing gloves. I don't think so.
Yeah.
So he tells him, I think you just test the DNA. And the detective's like, yeah, I'm trying to tell you, we already did that.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry he just doesn't say much. He doesn't seem upset. He doesn't deny it. He's just quiet mostly, but he does mention, this was super weird, that maybe they got the DNA mixed up with his cousin, who, by the way, went missing on the anniversary of Michelle's death in 2013.
Do we think that he's also involved in this disappearance?
The police have not said that he was involved in both, but I mean, it's quite a coinkydink, right?
I would think so. And I don't think
that it comes to his mind. I don't think I would start calling out cousins if I was being falsely arrested. You're welcome, cousins.
Right. Thanks. Yeah. I also don't think that somebody does that one time. I don't think it's just a one-time thing.
Okay. So let me tell you a little more about Jerry. His wife committed suicide in 2008. So we don't know much about her.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter and brother say it would have been impossible for Jerry to have done it because that was so out of character for him. But maybe there's a side to him that they don't know. When police arrested Jerry, they took his computer and they found over 300 searches for what they could just call it like deviant. Okay. Stuff like sex with a fresh dead body, strangulation and sex, and lots of violent images that were almost all young blonde girls.
So who else do we know?
So that's whack, right? That's whack.
Who has not been solved? Who's not been solved? Because there's somebody else out there that Jerry killed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not like Jerry was just looking at porn. I mean, that is some sick shit.
That's
right?
Disgusting. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So this evidence, by the way, was not able to be admitted at Jerry's trial.
Why? So, they must have taken it wrong or something.
Well, the judge just ruled that he can't be linked to what he's into, you know, his fetish now, 40 years later. Like, they didn't see the relevance.
It's relevant.
I disagree.
It's relevant. Trust me, it is.
Yeah, I disagree. Okay. So that's crazy, right? The team that prosecuted him had nothing to tie him to Michelle's murder except for the DNA. You know, there's no witness. There's nothing. That's it. Okay. His family was present and supported him at the trial. And how they make sense of his DNA being in Michelle's vehicle is they say that Jerry was 25 at the time and he worked on cars. So he must have worked on Michelle's car at some point. The thing about that is, did he also work on her dress? Because there were two separate samples.
Yeah. No.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's mixed together. It's not like it was his blood was somewhere totally separate.
And it's not like they found a bunch of other samples. Like she was just picking up DNA everywhere. Okay. Well, his defense is that her dress must have been contaminated by other evidence. Okay. Jerry's defense also tried to argue that the DNA found was touch or transfer DNA. But the expert that testified regarding that said, okay, yeah, it is possible, but probably not. At the time, the test that they ran did not conclude, like, what the source was of the DNA, like saliva, sweat, blood. But because both samples were taken from blood stains and the amount of DNA was so concentrated, which is indicative of blood, they said it was, like, almost 100% certainly from Jerry Burns' blood.
Yeah.
And given Michelle's deep defensive wounds, I mean, that kind of makes sense because she fought really hard to injure him. So the prosecution also called to the stand Jerry's former Sally, who he actually seemed like an all right guy. He's in the clink for fraud and marijuana at the moment.
Okay.
Not the worst crimes.
No.
Just saying. Okay. He said Jerry disgusted him because he is not cool with murder. And so he wanted to testify that he had conversed with Jerry and Jerry had told him However it goes with the trial, it doesn't really matter because I've lived out most of my life. Which is kind of a sus thing to say, right?
Uh-huh.
Also, he told his cellmate that if he was going to keep beating him at Pinnacle, he was going to have to take him to the mall.
What?
Yeah, like where he said he's going to have to take him to the mall. Like that's where he's making a joke about the Michelle. Yeah. Okay, that's creepy.
Yes, it is creepy.
Okay. So Jerry was found guilty.
I don't have any reason to think that Jerry didn't do it. I think these computer searches are.
I know, but the jury didn't know that.
I know, but I'm just saying that's my own personal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is interesting, though, to just tie someone with DNA. Okay, so Jerry was found guilty based on the DNA in 2020. I mean, I think he did it. I think we agree. And I think he's probably responsible for more, but who knows? Michelle's sister was ecstatic that he was found guilty. And she says it was a relief that it was just a random act of violence and not someone that she knew. I mean, personally, I think that random shit is more scary.
Well, it makes it more real for us as just women.
Yeah.
That something like that could happen because you think that you're married to somebody nice or, you know, nobody in your family would do something like that to you. But when you think about just some random dude.
Yeah, it's very scary. It's scary. Let's all take heed and don't walk out to your car by yourself. Have security take you.
I know. So, you know, we all, I don't say we all, but me personally, but probably also most people listening, we think to ourselves, maybe we should get security. And then we're like, do I seem like a weirdo if I go like find security? Or you're like, oh God, I got to get home. I have 5,000 other things to do. It's going to take another 5 minutes to get somebody to walk me there. Like there's all these things that go through your mind about why you shouldn't do that. When in actuality, you should do that.
You should. Yeah. You know, what's crazy too, is it turns out Michelle had told some friends of hers in the previous day that she had like a strange feeling that someone was following her. But she didn't know who it was.
Oh, he might have been stalking her for sure.
Totally for a while, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Jerry had no reaction when he found out he was guilty and sentenced to life without parole. So that no reaction means, I mean, he's guilty.
Yeah, that's what you always say.
Okay, but I have an interesting tidbit for you, and I'm not sure what to make of it.
Okay.
In April of this year, 2021, it was reported that Lady Boss, badass appellate attorney from the famed Netflix doc Making a Murderer, Kathleen Zellner, was taking on Jerry as a client.
No way.
Okay. It was reported on a lot of local Iowa news. And this really got me to thinking, because if you know anything about, you know, Kathleen Zellner, she doesn't defend people if she believes they're guilty.
Yeah.
But it turns out she did not represent Jerry in his appeal, which was filed on March 2021. I didn't see anything that stated her or her firm was on Jerry's representative team.
Yeah.
His attorneys were listed as like some other pro bono group. Also, on Kathleen's law firm website, they list their ongoing cases, and Jerry is not listed. So, I mean, I'm like, maybe he couldn't afford her, or maybe she decided he's guilty.
He's guilty.
I don't know.
I think she's smart.
I think he's guilty. I would like to know what happened.
Yeah, I have somebody else for her.
Oh, good.
A lady. Yeah. A lady in
prison. She's got
a
lot going on.
Well, she might be able to take this one on, but you know, it's in California.
Oh,
California case.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. Well, I read Jerry's appeal that was filed in March, and it's based on police violating his rights when they took his DNA without him knowing from the straw in the restaurant. So what
Are
do you think
not
of that?
To do that?
I mean, I don't think it has been debated enough in the courts. I mean, they say it's like your DNA belongs to your person, whether it's discarded or not. I mean, I just think, I don't know about that. I mean, if they would have asked him to submit a sample, it wouldn't have changed the result. His DNA would still have been found in the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. We come to the same conclusion. I mean, I think it would be wrong to let people out based on that technicality. I mean, sometimes I think you got to get the DNA however you can get it.
He threw it away. He didn't take it with him. Yeah. Take it with you.
That's the argument. Is that still yours or not yours?
It's not yours. You threw it in a public trash can. That's the public's.
So if you're a criminal, you better incinerate all your shit.
Or don't be a criminal.
Yeah, or don't. Or that.
I mean.
Right.
And if you are a criminal, I hope you're thinking to yourself every time you throw something away, like, shoot.
Who, like, yeah, you're paranoid. AF, yeah. Right. Like, who is picking that my mug up at the Waffle House?
Yeah.
What'd you eat?
Straw. It was from a straw, huh?
Yeah.
I like that. See, told you, like, beer bottle, straw. You're just like, waiting for them to throw something away that you know DNA will be on.
Yeah. Straw's a good one. Okay, mm-hmm. What did you eat at the Waffle House?
Oh, I got that whole shebang, the big daddy with the eggs, the bacon, and the waffle. I had it all.
I think I get the breakfast sandwich.
With the
American cheese.
Oh, no, I wanted a waffle. Mm-hmm. After I had 5 Bushwhackers. I mean, I was going for it that night.
Oh, yeah.
I also played a little flip cup. I mean, I acted like I was.
Damn, you went back to 1998.
Yes, I surely did. It felt that way.
I haven't heard someone play in flip cup in a long time. That takes me back.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
I have not played flip cup in a long
time. It's all beer pong. And then people play champagne pong. And I'm like, I don't want your fucking pong, ping pong in my champagne. How about we play conversation?
Yeah, no, I don't even know if I've played beer pong before.
It's dumb.
But flip cup is really fun.
Flip cup is fun.
Right. It was like girls versus guys. The girls won every time. Sorry. Still got it. Still got it.
God, okay. Too much.
I also told my husband that I did a beer bong before. He does not believe me. Like, he does not believe that I did that. I'm like, you didn't know me when I was at Cal Poly.
Yeah, of course you did.
Hello. Yes, of course I did. I also went to Havasu a few times in college.
I've never done a keg stand. Have you ever done that?
Oh, yes, I did that too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm sorry that our husbands are so there. You know what? Both of them are so bitter that they did not have as much fun as us.
I know. Oh, my gosh. You know what's funny? One of our listeners wrote us recently and she's like, I don't know any adult that has as much like young fun as you do. And
life is short, dude. Whoop it up.
Yeah, whoop it up. That's what I say. Like, you know what? And I'll be honest with you. I don't think I did. Well, we always have a good time. Like, we always plan a girls' trip and whatnot. But I think after the kids hit 5, all of them are in kindergarten, it was kind of easier to get people to watch them and be able to leave for a couple days and really kind of release that like pressure of having really small children. You're not always.
Oh, my God. Worried. I felt more pressure to do stuff after I had children. Because.
Yeah, but it's easier now for you to leave them than when they were babies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is easier to leave them now. Not that I ever do.
You don't. But... well, you do sometimes, but not as frequently as I do. But you don't have the help that I have.
No,
you know, like your family is not as close, and so you just
I do have a whole lot of fun. I started having a whole lot more fun since I had the kids because I plan something, like, be it camping or like whatever, every single month. And either we end up going or not, because it is the one time I get to relax. I don't really get to relax, but it's like my house doesn't get all messy, you know?
You know, and it's not...
like, clears my head.
And it's not super expensive, right? It's like what you would spend even if you were at home with your kids. But the thing about it is, and for me and Gretchen, being in our house gives us like a little bit of anxiety because you're always thinking what you have to do next.
Yeah.
Right? Either
and we both have kind of ants in our pants. We like to see the US of A.
Yes. And our husbands are not necessarily cleaning up the dishes every night. So we have to
definitely
think about that.
Not their strong suit.
No.
I've told them 1,000 times, many thousands of times, do we live in a fucking frat house? Because I am going to go postal, waking up with like an empty beer can or I woke up to a damn plate. I'm on a cleanse, people. I made him a meatloaf sandwich. Okay. It was delicious. I ate vicariously. I sniffed it. It was good. Okay. And he left the plate in our bedroom that like just put it in the sink. I don't even expect you to put it in the dishwasher. God forbid.
I wake up often and my husband doesn't sleep very well. And so he is a night eater. He's like a midnight snacker.
Ooh, yeah.
And there will be like 5 Perriers, you know, those cans.
Yeah.
Like everywhere. Cheese and salami. I'm like, what? Did you just have like a smorgasbord? Pickles? Yeah. Like, are you a pregnant woman?
Yeah. Yeah.
No offense, Sean, because I love him to pieces. But it's just, it's kind of funny because guys are just so different. And maybe it's not all guys.
I'm sure I think it is not all guys. I think we just walked out.
So he's always like, I don't
know why
it
takes so long. Actually, our friend Ailish is married to an amazing guy who works and does everything. I am actually going somewhere with my husband. And guess who is babysitting for me?
Andrew?
Yeah, not Ailish. Ailish is working.
I actually think that he would do a fine job.
Oh, Ailish texted me. She's like, oh, we both know that he's the better parent. So you're good.
Well, okay.
It's hilarious. Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys, thank you for listening. If you want more of us, like I said, we are on patreon.com/housewivesoftruecrime. We also would love you to tell a friend. I know you guys have been. So thank you so much, but we are trying to grow our podcast, and the best way to grow is through you guys. You know, everybody that knows business knows referrals are the best. Also, we're on Housewives of True Crime group on Facebook and Instagram, and find us there. We also have YouTube.
We do.
That's HWTC. And if you want to leave us a review, we would appreciate it. The higher, the better. You know,
if
that's
it's
what they
low,
say.
Then eat a dick and don't leave it.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't like us, then just there's a lot of other podcasts out there. I'm sure I can refer you to one.
Yeah.
And I hope everybody had a happy and safe Halloween.
Yeah. Happy Halloween.
Yes. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush? Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close.
Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.